You can choose a ready guide and some the brutal dudes. If you choose not to decide, you still have brutal dudes. I can't get my voice anywhere near as high.
That actually was pretty on point, I gotta say.
Thank you. Thank you.
This is Petey Pidge.
I am Mike.
J-Mac.
Brutal dudes.
And we have a special guest today. Please introduce yourself.
I'm Billy Alexander.
It is nice to meet you. I have been waiting for this interview for a while because when I realized, and I don't know why it didn't hit me immediately when I got the information from Dana that Why Not was a Rush cover band, I was so pumped. They are probably top three favorite bands of all time for me. And I was stoked. And when we listen to your new stuff, it harkens back, and it is wonderful to know that the sound is still alive, even though they're no longer a fully functioning band. And we're talking about Rush for anybody that doesn't know, because I don't know if I mentioned that in my little rant there.
Right. Yeah, thanks.
I'm sure you've heard it before. It's Hammer of the Gods was very reminiscent of Rush. I would probably say after Counterparts. It reminded me of a lot of the stuff after Counterparts.
Okay. Thank you. I mean, it's a big compliment. I mean, they're definitely ever since I was just a wee lad, they were so it never goes away, I guess,
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. They're amazing. Huh? I mean, even now I look at some of the stuff that they're doing, and they have the artwork stuff, and like people are putting out like animated videos of the songs, and it's such a creative fountain that they set forth. I don't know if you've seen any of their stuff recently, but I saw Getty when he came to Philly with my cousin. He did a speaking tour with his book.
Yep.
Oh, it was phenomenal. I haven't read the book yet. It's in my pile. The book, I can't wait, because I'm like, oh man. And I haven't even watched his show yet, which is where he goes on and he talks to bass players.
Right.
It's called Bass Players Are People Too. And he interviews like different bass players, like goes out and hangs with their, I think it's on like Paramount Plus. But I was like, I so want to watch the show because I love Rush. So enough about Rush. So you have a debut solo album that is currently out, yes?
Yeah, well, the record is on CD and vinyl, really only exclusively from my website, billyalexander.net, right now. And then we're doing staggered releases as singles. So it's not fully released in sort of the digital world yet. Right now they're just, we had the first single, as you mentioned, Hammer of the Gods, and then we have the next single that's coming out on Tuesday. That one's called You and Me Paradise.
What made you decide that you wanted to branch off from the band, your band, which was Why Not? Other than just it's a cover band, so you want to make original stuff.
Well, actually, Why Not? I wrote and produced three original records for Why Not. So that we actually are a combination. Even live, we perform original material from those records as well as the Rush stuff. So, and the Why Not thing started from an original tune that I wrote with a tongue-in-cheek, very tongue-in-cheek, overt reference to YYZ and Rush. So it's the song itself is very kind of derivative in almost just a sort of a tribute type of way. And then when we started getting together to play live, we just used the name of that song to name the band. And then I continued to write more songs. And as I said, we have a catalog of three full records of original material for that band. And then because I'm a songwriter and producer, as well as guitarist in that band, we had a little bit of what we might say downtime in between. We were getting a new singer. And I'm always writing, and it was an opportunity to also explore some of my other influences beyond just the sort of progressive hard rock and bring forth the other stuff and do all the instruments and all the singing on this one. as opposed to having a singer learn the material and then record it for that band. So that's basically how it came about, solo record.
So this is your My Favorite Headache.
Well, you could say that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a good way to put it. Sure.
Yeah. Cause yes, that was very much what Mike, in case you didn't know, cause I know that you're not as big a Rush fan as I am. Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson did their own solo albums for a little while. And Geddy Lee's was called My Favorite Headache. And he went on and he did all of the instrumentation and producing of the album by himself. Cause he wanted to try and do it by himself. But yeah, it's a good album, but, that's cool. All right, so is the full length stuff, that the original stuff from Why Not, is that available on your website too or no?
That's available on Band.
Okay.
And it's also everywhere. It's Amazon Music, Spotify, it's on Target, all that stuff. So you can actually buy the physical product out there everywhere. Cool. And then the digital and streaming, it's on all forms of platforms. You can get those records.
Sorry, go ahead, Mike.
Oh, I was going to say, what made you choose with the solo record to go with a full physical release first and then sort of piecemeal it out to digital?
Yeah. I was kind of following my manager's lead a little bit on that. But part of it, too, was rather than do sort of a crowdfund thing, we offered the vinyl as an exclusive thing. Which included a lot of other things like handwritten lyrics and getting people's names on the actual credits in the vinyl sleeve and stuff like that. And then that helped some of the sales, actually helped fund the production of the vinyl. Is very expensive to make. And it helped sort of fund that as well as just kind of get the ball rolling. And I'd always wanted to do vinyl for this solo record anyway. So, It's just a choice to do that kind of first, because we have a really passionate following, and I do as well, from all these fans, and they really came through with the interest on the record. And so that, I think that's basically why we did that. And then as far as doing the staggered releases, the plan for the release of this record is long term, so not just a here it is and then it's over, because I think he felt like the record had a lot of long life to it, with many single releases, probably even every track, potentially as a single. So the plan is to really stretch it out over a longer period of time.
That's interesting, because that's most bands, like you just said, most bands don't really tend to do that. They tend to release it all at once and then, you know, then label a single, and then you'll hear the single on the radio, and it's. I think it's a better way to go, to be honest, because it's you can stretch out the longevity of the songs that you wrote, because you know a lot of times the greatest songs that you remember when you were growing up or when you were listening to radio is, like, I remember a lot of Zeppelin that wasn't on the radio, but I also remember a lot of Zeppelin that was on the radio, and especially after the album was out, they were able to play deep cuts, and I have even on Sirius, I put deep cuts on all the time, because, like, I like listening to songs that aren't in normal rotation. So that sounds like a really good idea.
I'm right there with one of those. You know, I'd put on side B of whatever record, and the deep cut started becoming sort of the grower in my favorite. You know, the single or the radio thing. Not that you didn't love it, but you do get a little burned on it. You know.
Oh yeah.
So this whole record, that was kind of my idea too, was just to have it be an album you could put on and let it go to the end and not feel like you want to skip a track. I mean, you know, somebody might, who knows? I'm not going to say that, but I didn't really want to record anything. I didn't feel like, for me anyway, it was really sort of A-list stuff. And just, you know, even though it wasn't maybe a radio single sounding thing, I mean, Hammer of the Gods is surely not like a radio single sounding tune, but something that just felt strong, you know, enough to kind of not feel like there's two good songs, you know, and then a bunch of filler, that kind of thing.
Right.
I'm not a big fan, so.
No, that's good. I think that's great, because there's a lot of bands. I mean, even the ones we've come through that we've listened to, there's a lot of albums and songs where it's like you have two or three really good songs, and then the rest of the songs are kind of like, I don't want to call them mediocre, but they're like, they don't stick with you as long.
Yeah.
They don't have that. They don't have that sticking power. But, and that doesn't take anything away from the band, because, you know, the songs that stick that are good, they stick. But it's like, you want, I feel like if you're going to do a long play album, you know, that's what EPs are for. If you only have a couple of tracks, if you're going to do a long album, it should be a quality long album that you can put in and listen to the whole way through.
Yeah. That worked out of my mouth. That's exactly, that was the goal. And even going back to the Why Not material, because I wrote all that material too. That was the goal for those records as well. The classic form of, you know, kind of no weak tracks, you know, they're all at least at a similar level, even though you might have your favorites, you know, none of them are just completely like, that was a waste of time, you know, like skip it, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And I think that's like a lost art today in music in general. It's just, there's so many bands that even my favorite bands where I'll grab the album and I'll just be like, man, there's like only like three songs on here that I actually want to listen to. It sucks.
that's frustration of mine as well as a fan, you know, of like you say. I mean, that's why, you know, who's to say if, like, you know, my goal was achieved, but I achieved it for myself because I felt like, well, I'm pretty critical listener and fan of rock and roll. And, you know, if I'm feeling like, I'm kind of losing my interest on track three here, then I get rid of it. You know, I there's no sense in even putting it on there if I don't feel like it's still kind of keeping me, you know, interested, you know.
Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. I'm the same way. I still use an iPod in my car and I constantly am weeding through, like, cause you know, I have like 16,000 songs on there. So it's like, I'm not going to listen to every song all the time, but like, right, there'll be songs that come on there where I'll be like, oh, this song sucks. I'm going to pluck that out and not have that on here. And I'm just constantly, I guess it's like my little music bonsai tree. I'm just constantly looking for those little branches to clip off. Because I even have it. It's sad. Well, it's not sad, but I have a little notebook in my car because I listen to it in my car on my way to work. And like when I hear a song, I'll write down who it is and what the name of the song is. So when I get home, I can go on the computer and be like, nope, that's off the list.
Right on.
Now, in addition to this CD and vinyl, are you planning any other physical releases, like a set or anything like that?
Well, you know, that pretty much covers the physical product of, you know, I'm not going to do cassettes, I don't think, but as I said, well, the singles, as they come out, they are all, you know, they're everywhere on all the streaming platforms and Bandcamp as well in, you know, high quality download. But, for now, I mean, that's pretty much it. The vinyl, the CD, and then the digital for the whole record. But like I said, if somebody wants to get the whole record right now, it's available on my website if they want it.
And do you have any merchandise as well? T-shirts and things they can grab while they're there?
No, I don't. I've been focused mostly on, because a lot of people don't know me as a solo artist. So my first sort of step forward is just the music. You know, it's just the songs and people getting used to my voice being on the stuff, because I think they know me as being a songwriter, producer, and a guitar player and the musician kind of in the studio and then live, but not stepping out front. So I'm just kind of letting that be what it is first. Now, if there's interest that grows from this and from your guys' help doing this and everything, then, you know, for sure, you know, I'm certainly not against it. I mean, I'm a little shy about that kind of thing, kind of, because, you know, I do prefer being in a band, just as a you know, as a band member, as opposed to like a solo artist. But so this has been a kind of a first time, and it's been fun so far, really. And the band has been really supportive, and the bands have been very supportive. So it's been cool.
It's funny that you say that. Me and Mike were literally just having that same conversation, and he actually made the same statement to me. He prefers to write the music and produce the music than perform it live. And it's just funny that that's such a parallel, because not even that it's weird. It's just it's funny to hear two separate musicians say the exact same thing about performing, which is like a major part of writing and making music. I'm the opposite. I prefer being on stage and being the centerpiece.
Oh, well, don't get me wrong. As a guitar player, I'm a showboat. You know,
Now, are you planning solo shows to support the record?
We're talking about it, but that yet is another thing that you know, there has to be, because it's not so easy as an unknown to, you know, I'd have to kind of put a band together almost like Tom Scholz style, you know, and quickly go out there and do it, which we totally could. But it is a little different than, say, you know, a Tom Scholz, where, you know, I'd be lead singing as well as covering all the guitar and some keyboards and all those kinds of things. But yeah, it'd be a challenge, and I'm excited to do it. I think it's on the table, but there's nothing booked yet.
Now, you were also, I was reading this stuff, you were also, because you're a producer and a songwriter, you've been, I want to say, a help to a ton of different people too, right?
Well, I'd like to think so. Yeah, I mean, I've worked with, over the years, a lot of younger artists, female artists, male artists, and as well as, you know, it's I don't just spend all my time in the studio. I play live constantly, but that is just one of the things that I do, that I love to do, and continue to do. So yeah, I feel like I've hopefully helped some other people along the way.
Any established people we may have heard of?
Maybe. You know, probably not in like the rock and roll world. No one's coming to my mind as far as, you know, a name drop that you just go, dang, yeah, I know who that is. I've been the side man to some people like John Waite and Anna Nally and some people like that, more just for the guitar and the vocal side of things live, but not really, you know, producing those artists in the studio or anything like that.
Cool. No, that's. I guess I would think that you, with all that, you got to be prolific if you're into it. If you're into music, Mike's in like four bands and does a lot of that type of stuff too. Produces stuff, so that must be like a thing. I don't know. I'm creatively inclined, but I'm not necessarily musically inclined. Mm-hmm. Just as far as like writing and you know, I never played. My dad's like really good at guitar, but I never wanted to pick it up because it was kind of like when he wanted to like shut us all out, he would pick the guitar up. So it became like kind of like I would have to talk over the guitar all the time. And I get, you know, that's probably why I like metal so much, is because it's like screaming over the guitars. And it's like, yeah, no, I know. I feel that.
I get it.
Now, with these singles that are going to be released on streaming platforms, are you planning videos for each of those?
Yeah. The Hammer of the Gods, there's an official video out that's very AI. And that's on YouTube and everywhere. And it just sort of takes you through this visual, almost sort of superhero cartoonish visual ride for the song. You and Me Paradise on Tuesday, I actually did more of a traditional video from the studio and me singing, playing guitar and a little bit of a storyline. So it's more in the tradition of, I don't know if you'd call it an MTV video, but you know what I mean? Like a video, you know?
Nice.
Very nice.
I was coming up with video ideas today. I'm trying to help Mike with his stuff. And we were brainstorming ideas. I want to do a spoof of the Lil Wayne video, a Millie with me. And we'll just paint the tattoos on my chest.
I love it.
I think it's a great idea, but it'll be like, I'll be doing different stuff than him. Like, you know, where he drinks the drink and it says censored, I'll pull the censor thing down and it'll be a Dr. Pepper.
I have a few other videos in the can for songs off the record that we haven't released yet. But when we do, I'll release the videos. And there's a few where I play characters that are, you know, it's obviously me, but I'm playing somebody else and just fun stuff like that, you know? So they'll be coming up probably in the summer to accompany a couple more single releases.
Nice.
Very nice. Now, when you were in the studio working on the record, when you were writing stuff, was there ever a situation where you started working on something you're like, nah, this is better suited for the band, or vice versa?
I'd say maybe the vice versa thing, because there's always stuff that when I'm writing, if I feel like it's a little bit more just straight up rock and roll and it's not as proggy or doesn't sort of fit in that Rush mode, then I'll set that to the side. Or a lot of times, if I'm just in the writing mode, I'll just be inspired to write a song that day. And then just, I feel like, you know, if it's strong, I'll start arranging it. And I kind of know I'm gonna record it and release it as a master. So that was kind of the process for this, just things that were coming, no matter what they were, because I wanted it to be representative of my whole history in this life of rock and roll. So that includes, you know, influences of AC/DC, Thin Lizzy, Tom Petty, the Beatles, Queen, whoever. So I let that seep in, and that was different than, say, like the Why Not stuff, where it's very sort of, there's a lot of my touches in it, but I sort of obviously package it more in that for the Rush fans to sort of absorb and digest. So that part was different.
You said you had three albums, so you guys have been around for a decent amount of time.
8 years.
So do you come into contact with anybody else who does similar things with bands? Because we actually had on the show a band called Beatallica that does Beatles and Metallica mashups.
No, we do the classic Rush stuff and then just my originals.
Originals, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's just it. And then a lot of times the fans, they're familiar with the original material. So when we play a Rush song and then we go directly into an original off one of the albums, nobody really bats an eye because, first of all, it sort of fits in with the sound that we do. And second of all, a lot of them, like I say, they're familiar with the song. I'll see them singing the lyrics back, you know, at live shows and stuff. So it's just kind of a thing we fell into that is just, I think, kind of unique. I mean, there might be somebody else, but it feels like I've never heard of another Rush type band that does sort of mix.
I never have either. I'm always on the hunt for Rush related things. So, what was I going to say? While you're promoting the solo album, are you still touring with the band, or are you guys on a hiatus?
Oh no. We're touring steadily. We just did three shows out here in Southern California. The week before that, we did a run on the East Coast in Jersey, New York. And apologies for why I'm in, the reason why I'm even in the car is because I had to drop off a guitar for someone to take to the airport. We've got gigs in Florida in like 2 days. Oh. And so I had to kind of, here's the guitar and then get on with you guys. Normally I'd be, you know, in my car or something, you know, so.
It's not a big deal. We actually, you're not our first car interview. which is ironically, it's also through somebody Dana represents. So that's pretty funny.
Well, I feel bad because it almost feels like, oh, while you're doing something else, pop in. Like, no, I've made a plan to talk to you guys. I just normally wouldn't be doing it from my car.
No, listen, there's no offense needed. Like I said, when I was just stoked because I heard of the Rush influences, and I was like, Mike, Rush, we're good. Cause I just, there's such an influence, and it's, you know, it keeps reverberating. And it's like, it's also something that it's very cool to talk to other Rush fans that are doing other things on their own, because it's like, it's not just stated. You see that you're not the only person that's influenced by the creativity, back to what we were saying earlier in the beginning of the interview. Are you planning on coming back to the East Coast anytime soon or no?
Let's see. I don't have the calendar. I know we're in Detroit and Chicago next month. And then, East Coast. I know it definitely in November. For sure in November, and I might be skipping some stuff, but you know, it's always on the website, the show list, and you can always follow the band and kind of keep up with what we're up to that way too.
That's perfect, because I really like to check you guys out when you're back in town. You said Jersey, yeah. And I was like, shit, we missed it.
yeah. Well, I know in November we're going to be in Long Island, we're going to be in Teaneck, New Jersey. and I think somewhere else. Yeah, we get around, but yeah, we'll, you know, stay in touch, because, you know, we'll put you on the, put you guys on the guest list and all that stuff.
If you cool. Come.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're looking for places, look in Philly, because that's where we're based in. So.
Oh, I love Philly. God, I love that town. I do. I can't tell you how many times I've gone up the Rocky Steps. It never gets old for me.
It never does. Having lived here, the city isn't as lovable when you're there, but all that stuff is still like, I go to the city for cheesesteaks all the time. I climb the Rocky Steps. I do the art museum a bunch of times.
Yeah. South Philly, one with. I love that town, man.